All right, welcome to day number two, introduction to neuropharmacology. We're also going to talk about a couple neurological diseases, but for the most part, the next 2 days are going to be mostly neuropharmacology, and then after that, we'll start getting into more disease process when we do inflammation and infection. All right, so neuropharmacology is the study of how drugs affect the nervous system and what the nervous system controls, which is basically your entire body. Now, we divide up neuropharmacological drugs into central nervous agents and peripheral nervous agents. We are not going to talk about central nervous agents at all in this course. That will be for next semester. What we are going to talk about is the peripheral agents. So, before we move on, who wants to tell me what makes up the central nervous system? Okay, Nicole.
The brain and spinal
cord. All right, the brain and spinal cord. And, Anthony, what makes up the peripheral nervous system?
You're right.
So the spinal nerves and cranial nerves together. So how many cranial nerves are there?
12.
12 is correct. All right, now, what is the only cranial nerve that goes down into the body? Goes out of the neck area. The vagus nerve.
That's the only one.
Yes. And why is it named the vagus nerve? What other words do we get from vaga? Vaga, bond, vagrant. What do they have in common?
They travel.
They drift from place to place. And the vagus nerve kind of goes all over the body. So that's what we're talking about when we say peripheral nervous system. We're talking about spinal nerves and cranial nerves. And one last little bit. There's a gland that acts as part of your nervous system. What gland is it? It lives right about there. Your adrenal gland. And what part of the adrenal gland is in particular? What part of the adrenal gland? The medulla or medulla, depending on where you went to school. So, when we talk about the peripheral nervous system, spinal nerves, cranial nerves, and the adrenal medulla. All right, now let's talk about neurons themselves. So, now, for all of your brain's complexity, it really only does two things in the end. And what is that? Nah. Not stuff it does inside, but what does it do to your body?
React.
How? What reacts? Okay, makes muscles contract and makes glands secrete. That's all the brain does in the end. All of that complex thought process, it only does two things. Muscles contract and glands secrete. Now, when it doesn't do something, then it would make them relax or not secrete. All right, so the general process, we're going to get transmission of an impulse down the axon. What's an axon? So, all right, so let's use a little drawing today. Uh-oh. What's this?
What is it?
It's a hairy thermometer. What does this diagram represent?
A neurotransmitter.
No, it's not a neurotransmitter.
It's a neuron.
It is a neuron. Now, what is a neuron?
Cell.
It is a cell that belongs to nervous tissue. So it's composed of 1, 2, and 3 parts. What's this part called?
Body.
Cell body. And what sticks off of it?
Dendrites.
Then we have the axon. And then at the end we have the synaptic
something. Yeah. No, synaptic
something. The something. We'll talk about the something in a moment. Now, the first part of a nervous impulse is electrical activity coming down the axon until it gets to
the synapse.
Something. Now, inside here, we have another cell. Now, what kind of cell could this be?
Receptor.
No, but the cell will have receptors,
neuron,
but
sensory.
Okay, so it could be another neuron, it could be a gland, or it could be a muscle. Now, this cell is going to have little receptors on it. Or I guess maybe they stick out that way. Now, in order for this neuron to tell this cell what to do, it has to send a message across the gap. What do we call the gap?
Synaptic.
The synaptic cleft. So this whole area is called the synapse. And so this is called the synaptic cleft. This is called the axon terminals or synaptic terminals. And this side is called the postsynaptic cell. So if this is postsynaptic, this would be presynaptic. So some different words for the same thing, which can be a little confusing. But presynaptic, postsynaptic. Synaptic terminals, target or receptor cell. All right. So in order to send this message across, what do we have to do? Okay, well, the action potentials come down to the end. And now for this impulse to continue on to the next cell, we have to send a message. So we're going to send little smoke signals.
Fire.
No fire. So the way we send that smoke signal is by little chemicals, which are going to be released into this little gap, and they're going to stimulate the receptors. These little chemicals are called neurotransmitters. All right, so once the impulse gets down to the end of the axon, the neurotransmitter gets released from the axon terminal. It binds to the receptor cell on the other side, and then the postsynaptic cell will change. It will either relax or contract. It will either secrete or stop secreting. And if it's a neuron, it will either fire more often or less often. And that's pretty much all the neurons will do. So here's a better drawing than I can do. And this little T represents our
transmitter.
All right. Oh, that's pretty. Oh, yeah. Want to see that again? All right, let's watch it again. All right, so neurotransmitter comes out, binds to the receptor, lets sodium in, releases the sodium coming in makes calcium released from the endoplasmic reticulum, which in turn causes the muscle to contract. So in this case, what we're talking about is muscle contraction. But it all started from these little pink triangles, which represent acetylcholine coming down across the cell. Does that make sense? You want to see it one more time? Yes, you are supposed to remember that. So one more time. All right. Okay, now, ways that we can interfere with the process. We can alter the axonal conduction. We can block it. And this is how local anesthetics work. We can alter the synaptic transmission. So we can prevent the transmitter from going across. We can make more transmitter be produced. Or we can affect the receptors directly. So these are the basic three ways that we can affect neurological transmission. Now, if a drug causes the same effect as the process that the neuron would normally produce, we call it a receptor activator. If it produces the opposite effect or reduces the effect, then we call it a receptor deactivator. All right. So the steps in transmission. Before we can have a transmitter go across the cell, synaptic cleft, we have to first have a transmitter to send across. So the first thing we have to do is make some transmitter. Once we have our transmitter, we've got to store it somewhere, and the storage place is called
a vesicle.
What is this V word, vesicle? It's just a sac. Now, if it appears inside of a cell, it's a storage cell inside. It's a little storage place inside of a cell. We also have vesicles, is also a term for a blister. It's on a person's skin. So you can also have vesicles on a person's skin. But in this case, we're talking about little storage sacs in a cell. Now, Then we have to release that transmitter and push it out into the synaptic cleft. It's going to go across the synaptic cleft. What's going to push it across the synaptic cleft? Does the axon terminal go, go? How does it get it across? Shoo! Say it again. Diffusion. So, concentration gradient. Remember that word from yesterday? It's the concentration gradient that pushes it across. Now, once it gets across the cleft, it's going to bind to the receptor. The binding is reversible, which means that it'll bind for a little while, and then it'll pop off and go somewhere else. When it unbinds, we call that the beginning of the termination phase. So, termination, one of three things can happen to our little neurotransmitter. The first one is that it is vacuumed up by the cell that produced it. We call this reuptake. So the cell that produced it starts saying, hey, come back, come back, and it sucks it all back up inside. The other thing we can do is we can destroy it by enzymes. And the enzymes that destroy it are usually going to be on the cell surface of the target cell. And then the last thing that can happen is that it can just diffuse away. And this is usually slow, and it doesn't happen really in your body very much. Usually these two things will happen. But if you're ever doing research in a test tube, this can happen.